Welcoming all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call today, where we are very fortunate to have His Grace Haridas Wari Prabhuji. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 26, Verse 31 to 35. I'll hand over the call to Sureshwar Shyam Prabhuji before that to give brief introduction of His Grace Haridas Wari Prabhuji. Prabhuji, please take over the call, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Guru Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada. His Grace Haridas Varya Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Indradumya Swami Maharaj and an international speaker. Prabhuji has been associated with ISKCON for the last 24 years. Prabhuji has a deep penchant in rendering lectures from the Vaishnava Vedic text. He is a public speaker on various topics of Sanatana Dharma through the lens of disciplic succession of Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. He has delivered his lectures in English, Hindi, Tamil, and Malayalam across Dubai, Australia, USA, and India. He speaks extensively on Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Valmiki Ramayana, and the Gaudiya literatures. He has a graduation degree in electronics and communication and an MBA from Symbiosis. Hare Krishna Mataji, this is a brief introduction about Prabhuji. Back to you, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanvaj Pranam, please accept my invitation, sir. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now I'll hand out the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. First and foremost, am I audible, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. It's clear, Prabhuji.
Okay, clear. So first and foremost, thank you so much, Vardhana Mataji, Shyamagauri Mataji, and also Sureshwar Shyam Prabhu for the kind words and introduction. It is always a pleasure to speak amongst the audience of Bhakti Sangha Japa Group, a very sincere group of devotees, excellent vidwans of Srimad Bhagavatam. So today I would be here for another purification session for myself and for my words to speak on the Granth Raj, which is Srimad Bhagavatam. So today we will do a very different way of presentation. No presentations today, but it is a conversation that we would have together with all the audience because it's about the description of hellish planets. But before we would start with auspicious invocations. Those who know these mantras can chant along with me, keeping yourself as muted. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Kalapaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamashyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha. Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Sakitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Palan Sagana Vita Shri Vishakan Tamsha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavani Shri Vishavan Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priya. Vancha Kalpataru Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo. Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminyate Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavati Paschata Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatputata Mahamande Sri Gurum Dina Karinam Paramanam Damadavam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram Hari Om Tatsa. Hare Krishna, I welcome each and every one of you devotees to this August assembly of devotees, which is known as the Bhakti Sangha Japa Group. And I welcome all of you to today's Srimad Bhagavatam class, in which we are discussing about the description of the hellish planets. Generally, it is not a very easy topic, where amongst the devotees, we generally speak about Krishna Katha and the beautiful relishment of Krishna Katha. But nevertheless, this is part of Srimad Bhagavatam, where this also can be relished in many, many ways. So today's topic is from the fifth canto, known as the Creative Impetus, chapter number 26, Description of the Hellish Planets, text number 31 to 35. The Sanskrit parts are in the prose. It's quite long. So in the interest of time, we will just read the translations. Text number 31. There are men and women in this world who sacrifice human beings to Bhairava or Bhadrakali and then eat their victims' flesh. Those who perform such sacrifices are taken after death to the abode of Yamaraja, where their victims, having taken the form of Rakshasas, cut them into pieces with sharpened swords. Just as in this world, the man-eaters drank their victims' blood, dancing and singing in jubilation. Their victims now enjoy drinking the blood of the sacrificers and celebrating in the same way. So very ghastly scene is being depicted here, spoken about how many people in this material world worship Bhairava. Bhairava is also either Lord Shiva, or Bhairava is also for Kali or Maya. So they worship Durga, Maya, Kanyaka. These are the different names of Maya Devi. Sharada, Ambika. So these are different names of Maya Devi. Srila Prabhupada mentions it in the 10th canto. The different names of Maya Devi. In the 10th canto, in the 2nd chapter, the prayers of the demigod when Krishna appears. And there in one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada mentions different places in India, how the goddess is called by different names. In the south, she is called as Kanyaka. Can anyone tell me which is the famous place where she is called as Kanyaka? In the southern part of India, almost the southern tip of India. Kanyakumari. Kumari means the goddess, and Kanyaka stands for Maya Devi. So even today, we can go there and see the temple of Kanyakumari. So in the Maharashtra region, in the Kolhapur region, also she is also known as Mahalakshmi, and there she is known as Vaishnavi. And similarly in Bombay, she is known as Amba Devi. In like this, there are many names that is given to us by Srila Prabhupada, where he geographically places them and mentions it to us. So here we see a ghastly narration of how many materialistic people in this world think that human sacrifices, if done to Bhadra Kali, Bhadra means auspicious, and Kali means very deepish blue. So she is a very auspicious goddess, very deepish blue in color, but her mode of worship is very tamasic in nature. So many people think that the tamasic form of worship, they can offer human sacrifices and drink the warm blood of the person whom they are sacrificing. But here it is mentioned that in the Vedic scriptures, there is no such method which is being suggested. And if anybody practices this, Yamaraj will capture them. And those who were victims of such sacrifice, they will have the chance in this hellish planet to kill the person who has done this heinous act, and they will drink their blood and dance in jubilation. So this is kind of a revengeful attitude which is actually shown here. And this is a fitting punishment for one who engages in a human sacrifice. Now, speaking about this verse, before that, we should understand why Sukadeva Goswami is actually speaking these hellish verses about these hellish planets. He is speaking about these hellish planets in the form of Katha. Srimad Bhagavatam Katha is, there is relishment, at the same time, there are warnings. For devotees, when they hear about the churning of the milk ocean, the appearance of Lord Maman Dev, appearance of Varaha Dev, it is all topics of relishment. But then there are many others who don't turn their cheek towards spiritual practices. Then the don'ts and the punishment has to be mentioned. So for those who neglect spiritual life, the goal or the end point or the destination of those people who neglect spiritual life, for them these chapters are like the warning signs. These are the warning bells for them to turn their way back to spirituality. So from that point of view, whereas the relishment part of the Srimad Bhagavatam is all about inspiring the devotees, the description of the hellish planets on the other side is talking about how we can keep these hellish planets away from us. That is why there is a segue from canto number 5, this is the last chapter, to the segue of canto number 6, where we will talk about Ajamila and the story of a sinful person who was going to go to these hellish planets, how he was delivered by uttering the name of Lord Narayan. So this is the perfect in-between way of going from canto 5 to canto 6 to talk about the glories of the holy name. So these verses, in this work, it is mentioned about Bhadrakali, and it is her name of Maya Devi. But we see two such instances in Srimad Bhagavatam itself, where Srila Prabhupada, in one of his books called Coming Back, he gives a very brief narration of the three instances of reincarnation. In that he mentions about the story of Jada Bharata, where we see Jada Bharata was sitting in the field and he was not interested in any worldly activities and was constantly remembering the Lord and was constantly interested in remembering and meditating upon the Lord. At that point of time, a set of tribals visited that place and they were in search of a befitting human to sacrifice in front of Kali. So these people caught Jada Bharata, who never protested, and they put him in front of the altar of Kali and they sharpened the sword and they were about to cut his neck and offer his warm blood to Kali. All this time, Jada Bharata did not move a muscle, did not protest, did not say, you have caught the wrong person, you are looking for somebody else. He did not speak anything. But the people who were doing such a heinous act, the tribals, they thought that this is a great sacrifice to Kali and she will get pleased. But what happened? Kali herself thought that this is a great offense which is going to be done, because Jada Bharata is such a great devotee of Lord Vishnu and he needs to be protected. So she broke open her deity form. She came out of the deity. She took the same sword from the tribals and she chopped and decapitated all the rugs and the thieves and burglars and whoever were trying to do such a bad act to Jada Bharata. So this clearly shows that the Vaishnavas and their way of worship and their way of living is far, far much superior, is far greater. So those who worship Bhadrakali, those who worship Maya Devi, they are called as Shaktas. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written extensively about these Shakta worshippers and how they differ from Vaishnavas. The Shaktas, they worship such gods and demigoddesses for gaining material wealth and material prosperity. Whereas the Vaishnavas, they have only one interest, which is going back home, back to Godhead, and serving other Vaishnavas and serving the Lord. So what happens is that we constantly see that the Shaktas will be entangled in this material world, whereas the Vaishnavas, they take a higher realm and they go back home, back to Godhead. But a stark opposite is what we see in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the story of the gopis worshipping Katyayani in the 10th canto, the 22nd chapter, 5th verse, where Srila Prabhupada mentions, if I can take that verse, it's very beautifully Srila Prabhupada mentions it. He mentions, it's in the 10th canto, 22:5, yes. Says, evam masham vratam cheru kumaraya krishna chetasa bhadrakalim samanarchur bhuyananda sutapatihi. So here Thus, for an entire month, the girls carried out their vow and probably worshipped the goddess Bhadrakali. Now, here you might think, at that place, we were mentioning that worshipping of the demigods and goddesses is not proper. But Gopi Pada Kamalayor Dasanu Dasanu Das is what we say. We should follow in the footsteps of the gopis. And the gopis here are worshipping whom? Katyayani Mahamaya. None other than Katyayani Bhadrakali. But why were they worshipping? This we should very clearly see. Fully absorbing their minds in Krishna. They were not fully absorbed in worshipping Bhadrakali for material opulences. And this is part of their pastimes. And they are far beyond our comparison. So here we see that it is not mentioned that we should worship the demigods and demigoddesses. But here the gopis have only one source of inspiration. That may the king, son of King Nanda, may Nanda Nandan, they wanted him as their husband. Similarly, we see Rukmini Maiya also going to Girija's temple before getting kidnapped or before getting snatched from Shishupal and the Bhishmaka king by Krishna or Dwarakadish. So this way we see that Bhadrakali or Kali holds a very important position. But for Vaishnavas, for us, everything is the Supreme Lord. The Lord takes care of every single activity. So in this way, here it is mentioned, for those people who are worshipping them and doing human sacrifices, which is very abominable, they will face a very great hell. Text number 32. This is also a big verse where it says, but it is a very important verse. In this life, some people give shelter to animals and birds that come to them for protection in the village or forest. And after making them believe that they will be protected, such people pierce them with lances or threads and play with them like toys, giving them great pain. After death, such people are brought by the assistance of the Yamaraj to the hell known as Stulaprota, where their bodies are pierced with sharp needle-like lances. They suffer from hunger and thirst, and sharp-beaked birds such as vultures and herons come at them from all sides to tear their bodies. Tortured and suffering, they can then remember the sinful activities they committed in the past. So further, the description of the hellish planets continue, where Shukadeva Goswami is mentioning about those individuals, and he is not leaving men alone. He is saying men and women. There are certain people who are men and women who seemingly give protection to animals who come from villages and forests. Sometimes we say that, see that some animals come from the stray forests, they wander into our city and the livelihood, and many people take them into their shelter. And the animals, they believe that so and so person is going to give us shelter. But the person who is seemingly giving the shelter has very alternate thoughts and has very wicked thoughts. What do? They start to pierce them with lances or threads. Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here about the modern industry of meat. The meat eating industry, where the butchers, where the poultry farms, where the chicken coops, all these are examples of this verse. All these animals believe that the person who is feeding them, who is giving them food, giving them hay, giving them water, giving them grains, they are nourishing them. And out of love or out of fear, because of the conditions that they are living in, they give their produce back to the owner of such farms. But when they become, or when they run dry, when the cows run dry, what do? They kill these animals. They put iron rods in their mouths and kill these animals. And these animals cry out of pain. And such butchers, such heinous people, what happens to them? They go to the hellish planets, called as Stulaprota. Stulaprota means the place where such people who have done such wicked acts, sinful acts, they will be pierced with sharp needle-like lances. And all these animals, they will, and sharp-beaked birds like vultures and herons, they will tear their body just like the way they did this to the animals while they were living and while they were being sheltered. So this is what Srimad Bhagavatam is actually teaching us, telling us that if we are not spiritual, if we are not turning our eye and our cheek and our intelligence towards spiritual knowledge, then we have to face such consequences. And on the other side, the Vedic scriptures also tell us about the stories. Like Markandeya Rishi tells about this great narration to Pandavas in the Mahabharata. He mentions about the King Shibi. Now King Shibi was in the Lunar dynasty and he was a great king. Once he was on top of his roof, he was just wandering on the roof of his palace. At that time he saw a dove was being chased by a hawk. And this dove was fluttering here and there and the hawk was relentlessly pursuing this dove. And finally, the dove or the pigeon came up to Shibi, the king, and took refuge unto him and said, "Protect me." The king Shibi said, "Your one feather will be also harmed. I am going to give you refuge." Because anybody who asks for refuge, this is the rule of the king, that the king should protect its living citizens, king should protect the animals, king should protect everyone. In fact, you will see in Srimad Bhagavatam, if I remember correctly, when Krishna enters Dwarka, this particular verse is spoken and this verse is being spoken by Srila Prabhupada in the purport, if I am right, that he speaks very beautifully. I would like to read those verses. And there Srila Prabhupada mentions in a very beautiful way that how the modern problems that we have in this material world is all because of not paying good care to the animals. We should be very careful. In fact, I can't find the words. Give me a second. I think I find the words. Okay. So here in one of the verses, Srila Prabhupada is clearly mentioning that how everybody should be taken care of by the king. So here King Shibi, he took care of the dove and the hawk said, "No, you have to release this dove. It's my prey. It's my food." So now King Shibi thought, okay, the hawk is also a living entity in my kingdom. If I don't feed the hawk, then it will die. And if I don't protect the dove, it will die. So my duty is to protect both of them. So King Shibi said, okay, whatever equivalent portion of flesh you want from this dove, I will give it from my body. So the hawk said, okay, but on only one condition. You should not shed even one tear while you are giving this charity. And Shibi said, "Don't worry, a little bit of flesh equivalent to this pigeon, if I cut and give it to from my body, I am being a Kshatriya, nothing will happen to me." And the hawk said, "Fine." And they arranged a scale where the dove was kept on one side and King Shibi took a sharp sword and started chopping off his thigh, giving a chunk of flesh and keeping it on the other part of the scale. But interestingly, the dove's weight was larger. More and more part of the body, King Shibi started to cut, and the hawk was constantly looking at the eyes of Shibi, whether he's shedding a tear. Because as per the condition, if he sheds a tear, then the entire offering cannot be taken. So it so happened that almost half part of the body King Shibi had put on the scale, but the dove was not even relinquishing its weight. And the balance was always tilting towards the dove. So finally, when at least half the part of the body was almost given, one drop of tear came from the left eye. And the hawk said, "Stop. Stop this charity right now. As per my condition, you cannot give it any part of the flesh. Because you have started crying, that means you are in pain, that means you are not interested in it." So this is a great understanding that when we actually give in charity, our heart should be happy. It's not that we should think, oh no, this Brahmana has come, this temple president has come, now again he's going to ask for the temple construction, and my 3,000 rupees is gone. Like, this is not a good way of giving charity. We should give charity with full faith. We should give charity with full understanding that Krishna is pleased by such an activity. So when the tear was seen on the left eye, the hawk said, stop, now you are crying, so I cannot accept. To which Shibi Maharaj very wonderfully said, please don't think that these are tears of sorrow. This tear is of joy. And the hawk asked, what do you mean? He says, the left eye is thinking that now when will my position come? When will my chance come? Because the whole right part of the body has been cut and offered. When will my opportunity come to be part of this great exercise of giving charity? So when it sees that now it is going to come, it is out of happiness, it is shedding a tear of joy. When the hawk heard this mentality, they both transformed, the hawk and the dove, they came to really check the greatness of charity which they have heard about Shibi Maharaj. The hawk was Indra and the dove was Agni. Or some say he is the demigod of righteousness, Dharmaraj. They both appeared there and they blessed Shibi Maharaj that he would be known for his charity. He would be known for his capability of accepting refuge, accepting people who have come under their shelter. So we do hear about such stories as well, where a simple dove has been sheltered. They came for protection from far village or forest, but the king was ready to offer his own flesh. And the hawk, and Indra and Agni both blessed Shibi that he will regain youthful form. And they blessed him of all the great riches. And Shibi Maharaj's story is known even today. To be the one who has taken shelter, he would not live. And this same story and many others, Lord Ramchandra is also repeating in Valmiki Ramayana. In Valmiki Ramayana, as we spoke last time around, when we spoke about Maharaurava, how Vibhishana was taken into the shelter. And at that time, Sugriva repeatedly says that please don't take him under the shelter. It seems that Vibhishana has come from the evil brother called as Ravana, and his activities will be very similar to Ravana, and it might be possible that he will kill you, Rama and Lakshmana. And when he says in this particular way, and I would like to show you the Ramayana Shloka, where this particular verse is being spoken, and Sugriva says that please don't take him. And at that time, Lord Rama is saying to Sugriva, it happens sometimes, you know, Sugriva, that in a family, two brothers might fight and they might have difference of opinion. Sugriva need not look at any other case, because in his own house, he has fought with his elder brother and come out and taken the help of Rama. Similar is the situation. It's like the pot is calling the kettle black. Similar is the situation of Vibhishana, but Sugriva forgets that because he has done it, why can't Sugriva do it? So why can't Vibhishana do it? So Vibhishana is coming and asking, and it says, Rama says that even if belonging to the same family, people who are virtuous do respect their own well-wishers in that family. Even if they are non-well-wishers, the well-wishers they respect. And in kings, we do see that such a thing does happen. Then he says a very famous shloka, where he says that, but what can I say, Sugriva, not everybody is in like this. So he says this famous shloka, na sarve bhratarastak bhavanti bharatopamah madvidda na pitu putrah suhrudo na bhavadya. He says, I would like to tell you, Sugriva, that not all brothers are like, when he says not all brothers are like, Lakshmana is keenly listening whether he is going to take his name. But Rama says, not all brothers are like Bharata. Lakshmana is thinking, I am worshipping him every day. But Rama says, Bharata, who is worshipping my Padukas, are the greatest one. Not every brother is like Bharata. Look at the love that Lord Ramchandra has towards Bharata. And he proclaims about himself. And he says, not all sons of a father are like himself. So the best example of brother is not Vibhishana, not Sugriva, not Lakshmana, it's Bharata. And the best example of a son to a father is Rama. And because he is in a coalition government with Sugriva, he has to appease him also. And he says, because you are the true friend who is helping me, not all friends are like you. Na sarve bhataratta bhavanti varatopama madvidana pitahu pituhu putraha suhrudo va bhavadvidaha. So you are not everybody is friends. But because he said that Sugriva is a friend, still the talk is about a refuge and taking refuge and accepting shelter. Still, hearing the Rama's words, Sugriva and Lakshmana, they both stood up and they said this. Oh Rama, this excellent amongst the tolerant, you are saying very nicely all these, but please realize that this Vibhishana was sent by Rama and he's a demon and he is worthy to be taken as captive. So Sugriva is still holding his point that this person has come to take shelter unto you, so you please leave him and arrest him. But at that point of time, a very beautiful shloka in Valmiki Ramayana comes. Right, and that is this verse. When such a verse was spoken by Sugriva, Rama takes 3 seconds to just ponder over what was spoken. And that is this verse. Eva muktva raghu shreshtam sugrivo vahinapatihi vakyajno vakyakushalam tato mauna pavagat. Speaking thus to Rama, the best of Raghu dynasty, Sugriva, who knew the mode of aggression, kept silent. So Sugriva kept silent. And then Rama pondered over the words and spoke more auspicious words to Sugriva. See, this is another form of communication that we learn from this particular. It's an intense debate which is going on between whether to take shelter of this refugee or not. At that time, he said, you should not give shelter. You please leave this person. At that time, Rama thought about it and spoke these words. As I have said many times in the past, in Ramayana, only there are 4 or 5 places where Rama breaks the character. Where it is a superb play, where he always showcases that he is Atmanam Manusham Manne Dasharatha Atmarupi. He says, I am the son of Dasharatha and I am the son, I am a human being, I am not a god. In this way, he always keeps saying. But there are only 4 or 5 places where he breaks the character. We have seen in our past that when he gives the liberation to Jatayu, he says, please go to the back home, back to Godhead. There, he breaks his character. Second, he breaks his character when he shows himself to Hanuman. This is another place where reply to Sugriva, he breaks his character. And I want you, my dear devotees, to what character is he breaking into is to be seen very wonderfully. So he says the next 2 verses, which we will relish. Tadrishtova api adrishtova kimesha rajani charaha sukshmam api ahitam kartum mama ashakta katanchana sudrishto va adrishto. Lord Rama is saying, Sugriva, I have pondered about what you have spoken, but let me tell you something. What does it matter whether this demon is bad or not very bad? Sudrishto, he might be good, or adrishto, he might be bad. It does not matter to me. Because you know what? Sukshamam api ahitum kartum mama ashakta kanchana. He cannot bring even a small bit of harm to me. Even if he thinks he can bring some harm, he cannot bring any harm to me. Lord Rama is very confident that this person cannot bring any harm to me. And how? Why? This is where he breaks the character. Pishachan, Danavan, Yakshan, Prithvivan, Chaiva, Rakshasan, Anguli, Agrena, Tanhanya, Michan, Harigana, Ishwara. This is a very hidden verse in Srimad Bhagavatam where he is remembering about his past. And my dear devotees, you have to tell me which past is he remembering to. He says, Pishachan, Danavan, Yakshan, I can kill demons, supernatural beings, ogres, everyone. All I need is just tip of my finger. So my question is open. Whom is he referring to? Anguli agrena tan hanyam ichan harigana ishwara. He says, if I wish, I can kill any rakshasa, any devilish demon, supernatural beings, just with the tip of my fingers. Whom is he mentioning about, my dear
Narasimha?
Lord Narasimha. Yeah, Lord Narasimha. And when we read Ramayana in this way, we understand the Lord. And the Lord is the same Supreme Personality. And hence he says, "Sakrdeva prapannaya tavasmin diyas." So there he says that how can I not accept Vibhishana? He doesn't bring any harm to me, but he also tells about a very beautiful story. He tells about the story of how to receive people who have come to us begging for shelter. And that we will see in the next two verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is there for today. 33rd verse speaks about another hellish planet where those who in this life are like envious serpents, always angry and giving pain to other living entities, fall after death into the hell known as Dandasuka. My dear king, in this hell there are serpents with 5 or 7 hoods. These serpents eat such sinful persons just as snakes eat mice. So this talks about the snakes who are always envious of other living entities. Similarly, we should not be envious of other living entities. Para dukkha sukhi should not happen. If others are in distress, we should not become happy. We should be sad. Para sukha sukhi. If others are happy, we should be happy. Seeing their happiness. This is a Vaishnava etiquette. And those who do not follow, they will fall in this hell called as Dandasuka. 34 mentions another hellish planet. Those who push them and confine other living entities in dark wells, granaries or mountain caves are put after death into the hell known as Avata Nirodhana. There they themselves are pushed into dark wells where poisonous fumes and smoke suffocate them and they suffer very severely. So those people who have this intent of harming other living entities, completely destroying their living existence, pushing them into wells and granaries and mountain caves and trapping themselves there, perpetually or very consciously doing such activities. Sometimes some devotees take some insects and put them inside a jar and see their movements. These are all very similar. We should not do such activities. We should not cause any harm to other living entities. Jive Daya has to be always practiced. So those who do that, they get into the hell called as Avata Nirodhi, where such activities are also performed to the person who has committed such a sinful. So all these hellish planets are being mentioned, but the most important one for the Grihastha householder is text number 35, which has a small purport by Srila Prabhupada also, which is the last verse for today. And we have multitude of learnings from this particular place. So what we learn here is a householder who receives guests or visitors with cruel glances. How does he see the cruel glances? He goes into the peephole and looks at the person who is standing on outside of the gate. Or if it's the person whom we don't want, then our glances become a little cruel. Why is this person has come right now? He has not messaged on WhatsApp that he is going to come or she is going to come. So if a person thinks like that and looks at the visitor or looks at the guest with cruel glances, as if to burn them to ashes, what happens? If he or she is put into a hell called as Pariyavartana, where he is gazed at by hard-eyed vultures. The vultures, herons, crows and similar birds suddenly will swoop down and pluck out the same eye which actually showed cruel glance. So Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioning how we should receive guests. If we don't receive guests, if we receive guests in such cruel manner, such is the outcome. Purport. According to the Vedic etiquette, even an enemy who comes to a householder's home should be received in a gentle way, that he forgets he has come to the house of an enemy. A guest who comes to one's home should be received very politely. If he is unwanted, the householder should not stare at him with blinking eyes, for one who does so will be put into hell known as Parivartana after death. And there many ferocious birds like vultures, crows, herons will suddenly come upon and pluck out his eyes. So while this verse is mentioning how we should not receive the guest, let us take some time to learn from Srimad Bhagavatam how to receive this. And a very wonderful place where we can see this is in Srimad Bhagavatam itself, in the 10th canto, where Nanda Maharaj, in chapter number 8, where it is about Lord Krishna shows the universal form with its mouth. Before this, the pastime of welcoming Gargamuni and naming ceremony of Krishna takes place. And at that time, Gargamuni came and seated in Nanda's house. And this is how Srila Prabhupada writes. When Gargamuni had been properly received as a guest and was very comfortably seated. So this is the first thing that we should do. Any person coming to our house, we should first seat them. We should give them a seat. And this was seen even in Ashoka Vatika when Sita was kept. Ravana came to see her. And now, though it is Ravana's palace, but it was occupied by Sita. And so Ravana was seen as a guest. So the Acharyas write, the whole world, Jagan Mata, belongs to Mother Lakshmi. And this is a simple living entity who is living as a guest. So she just plucks the grass and throws. And there are 40 or 50 meanings given why Sita actually plucked the grass and throws at Ravana. One of the meaning is he is seen as a guest and he should be seated. So Kusha grass is one of the best places of seat for the great Vidwan, and he is also a Brahmana. So she gives this particular etiquette. He is an enemy, but he is again given a seat. And Ravana is very astonished by this act of Mother Sita. Other Acharyas write, Sita is actually telling Ravana that you are just like a blade of grass. Lord Rama will just pluck you and then throw you out. Wait, what is going to happen? So in this way, we see that Nanda Maharaj welcomed Gargamuni by giving proper seat. And then after seat, after a physical response of giving the guest a seat, what follows? What follows is submissive and gentle words. If we cannot offer a proper raised seat, we should at least have very lovely words to speak. We should not speak, why did you come here? We should not speak obnoxious things. We should speak in a gentle and sweet way that their heart will be pacified. They will not be in anxiety. And what did Nanda Maharaj speak? Nanda Maharaj told to Gargamuni, dear sir, because you are a great devotee, you are known as Purohita. Purohita means one who keeps others' interests in front. So Gargamuni has come to Nanda Maharaj keeping Nanda Maharaj's interest in front, not his interest. And keeping Vasudev's interest in front, which is to name Krishna and Balaram. So in this way he has come. You are full in everything. Yet my duty is to serve you. Kindly order me what can I do. He is the guest. But look at the mentality of the host. The host is to welcome you. And then he mentions in a very beautiful verse. Mahat vichalanam ranam vrihinam dina chetasam. Nihishreshasya Bhagavan kalpate nanyatakavachit. He says, O great devotee, persons like you, Gargamuni, move from one place to another, not for their own interest, but for the sake of poor-hearted grihasthas. So the householders should also always feel brahmacharis and sannyasis visit their houses, not because of their invitation, but because they have decided to bestow mercy upon them. So he's saying, you have no intention to move from place to place, but yet you do so for poor householders like you. Otherwise, what is the interest in going from one place to another? So in this way, he welcomes none other than Gargamuni in this fashion. So this shows a very, very clear, he shows in a very, very clear way that how we should actually welcome the Lord, or how we should welcome the devotees. Another great example is the Vithala story. Lord Vithal himself came at the doorstep, and the devotee at that point of time, he said that I am taking care of my parents, so please stand on this brick. And Lord Vithal stood there on the brick with both his hands on the hips And he's still then standing there, though the doors were not open. Today, Vithala's doors are open for everyone. That's a great welcoming, said that the Lord himself came as guest, but first he was given a seat to stand or to sit. So we see that how the devotees have to be welcomed. We see how Vidurani welcomed Krishna. She actually forgot that Krishna had visited. She was peeling the bananas, throwing the bananas away, and she was feeding with love the peels of the bananas to Krishna. And Krishna was very wonderfully eating. He was eating all the peels of the bananas. It had no chaff, and he was eating, and Vidurani was crying deeply. And Vidura was also looking at the Supreme Lord. The same Supreme Lord was given a chappan bhog by Duryodhana, but he did not go there. He said, first I'll go to Vidura's house. And who is Vidura? Vidura is Yamaraj himself. Yamaraj knows that if he doesn't receive the guest properly, he has to go as one of the customers in his own planet. So Vidura and Vidurani also welcomed the Lord in such a beautiful way. And we also see how Vishwamitra was welcomed. Vishwamitra, when he came to Dasharatha's palace, Vishwamitra came and asked, Kakapaksham dharam veeram datumam datumarhas. He said, oh, Dasharatha, I have come here for a special purpose. So Dasharatha said, Vishwamitra, I hope everything is going well. Your meditation is going well. Your sadhana is going well. Your Hare Krishna Mahamantra chanting is going well. Everything is going well. Vishwamitra also asked, are you happy? So such a way, both were talking, and suddenly Vishwamitra said, I have come here for a purpose. And Dasharatha said, whatever you want, you ask, I will give you. This was a promise. And Vishwamitra said, look, I don't need any other. There is a boy who is your son. The minute he said, Dasharatha really felt pain in the son. He said, he's going to ask my son? He said, okay, I have four sons. I can send the other three, because he didn't want to send Ram. So Vishwamitra was very particular. He said, Kakapaksha dharam veeram datum arhasi. That stylish Lord Ramchandra, who has a small speck of hair which is falling as a curl, which is called as Kakapaksham in Sanskrit. I want that boy. This was what the statement made by Vishwamitra. And first, Dasharatha fainted. It is not in serials alone. In reality, he fainted. He fainted on the ground. And when he woke up, he said, my son is Rajiva Lochana. He's lotus eyed Lord. This is the argument that Dasharatha is giving back to Vishwamitra. Now, we may be thinking, why is he saying a statement like Rajiva Lochanaha? He is lotus eyed as a statement, as a negation to the charity that is being asked. There is a deep meaning here. Dasharatha mentions, my son is Rajiva Lochana, means he is lotus like eyes. Lotus will actually bloom during the daylight, and when the sun is going to set, it will go back. It will not bloom. It will close itself. And what you are asking is to fight the demons who will come in the night. My son, Ramchandra, is lotus-eyed. He goes to sleep very early. He gets up in the morning for Mangala Arati. He gets up early in the morning. So forget about fighting in the night. He goes to sleep very early in the morning. How will he fight with the demons who come only in the night? This is not possible. So this is the negation. When you actually say, I know I cannot give, this is also said in a very poetic way by Dasharatha. So this actually talks to us about how wonderfully you should receive gifts, how wonderfully you should talk to them. And finally, I would like to also talk about one particular instance, which was the seat of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. And it all started with this verse of how to take care of devotees who visit at your doorstep. There was a sage called as Mriganda Rishi, and his wife was called as Mitravati. This Mriganda Rishi and Mitravati, they both were living in a place in Tamil Nadu called as Tirukkovilur. This place is very famous near Chennai. This place is Tirukkovilur. This place they were staying, and they were ardent worshippers of Lord Vishnu. Once pleased by their ardent worship, Lord Vishnu himself came as a small young Brahmana boy and asked for alms. And they were so poor, they did not have anything in their house, no prasadam to give for this Madhukari asking Brahmin boy. So when they actually went and saw in their kitchen vessels, there was nothing there. So knowing how they would get any foodstuffs to be given to this Brahmana boy, and knowing the cultural order that we should give as a householder, we should give dana, charity, for anybody who is asking from us prasadam, they didn't know what to do, so they prayed to the Lord of Tirukovil. They prayed to the Lord that please fill these vessels with food so that we can give it to the Brahmana boy. And the Lord heard their plea, and the entire vessels were filled with food. And they were so jubilant on their faith towards the Lord, they took the vessels and came outside. And they saw the same Brahmana boy standing with the shank and the chakra and the gada, giving them wonderful, beautiful darshan. And this Mrigandha Rishi was so happy, he said, why don't you stay here as Vamandev? Because I like this pastime very much of Vamandev. Why don't you stand like this, what you see in the behind in the poster? Why don't you stand here like Vamandev giving this beautiful darshan? So the Lord stood there giving darshan. Even today you can see as Lord Vamandev, standing as an emblem that how you should receive guests. Why? Because Lord Vamandev's feet went up to Brahma, and Brahma thought, I have to worship the guest. And he did Abhishek with the help of Mother Ganges. Brahma Loka, the Lord. In fact, we are all living as guests in the Lord's planet. But still, Brahma offered the waters. But this was not the beautiful thing. The most beautiful thing is this was the heartland of where the Vaishnava canon of a literature of the Sri Vaishnavas started. In this Mrigandha ashram, this Mrigandha Rishi's ashrama or hermitage, once came an Alwar known as the first Alwar, known as the Poigai Alwar. He was one of the first Alwars. These Alwars are saints who came in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, just like the Shad Goswamis. These are great Acharyas and Alwars who had come down to glorify the Lord. So this Poigai Alwar came, and he was traveling from Kanchipuram to this place called as Tirukovilur. And when from Kanchipuram he was traveling to Tirukovilur, it started profusely raining. And when this rain was falling, he wanted some shelter. So he knocked on the doors of this Mrigandha Maharishi's ashrama or hermitage. Mrigandha Maharishi said, you seem like a great saint, but let me tell you, I have a very small house. And I can spare only a small room. Only one person can sleep in that room. Poigai Alwar said, thank you very much. That much space will be more than enough for me. He went there and slept, taking the shelter from the hard pounding rain on the roofs. Within minutes, he heard another knock on the door. This time, it was the next Alwar, who is known as the Bhutat Alwar. This Alwar was coming from Mahabalipuram, another place in Chennai, which in those days used to be called as Tirukkadal Malai. That means the auspicious sea, which is like a garland. Even today, Mahabalipuram, if you go to Chennai, you see that it's actually a beautiful garland-like beach, which is adorning the seashore. So he was coming from Mahabalipuram to Tirukkovilur, and he also wanted shelter, so he knocked on the door. And Poigai Alwar said, there is very little space. He said, can I come in? So Poigai Alwar felt, now he is the host and he is getting another guest, because it was his space. So he said, where there is space for one to sleep, there is definitely space for two to sit. Look at the greatness. He said, please come in. So they both were sitting and shivering in the rain. And he was sitting and shivering in the rain. At that time, they heard the third knock on the door. And at the third knock on the door, there was the third Alwar, who is known as the Pay Alwar. He is coming from Tirumailai, that is Mylapore, which is again Chennai. And he was coming towards Tirukkur. Now you might be thinking, what is happening? Everybody is coming into one place. And he knocked on the door and he said, can I come inside? And they both said, where there is place for one to sleep, two can sit, definitely three can stand. So when the third Alvar also came inside the door, all the three of them started standing. Now this is Krishna conscious. When we are sleeping deep in the lap of Maya, when we get association of one more Vaishnava, Tushyanti cha, Ramanti cha happens, we sit up to listen Srimad Bhagavatam. And when this particular pastime happens of Tushyanti cha, Ramanti cha happens, when the third devotee joins, what happens? Sankirtan happens and we have to stand and dance. So when we are sleeping in the lap of Maya, association of a devotee makes us to sit up and take notice and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, slowly developing Sankirtan and slowly standing up and dancing. So when these three devotees were standing inside the room, they all felt in their heart of hearts a fourth person right there standing next to them. And through their spiritual eyes, they saw there was none other than the same Lord who is there in the Tirukovilur temple, who is Krishna himself. Yes, he is called as the Ulagalanda Perumal, or one who has measured the three worlds, Lord Vamandev, then and there giving darshan to Lord Vishnu. And looking at that Lord, they started writing this great Vaishnava canon of treatise. Each Alvar wrote 100 verses. And the first verse speaks about, if I take the whole sea as the, if I take the whole world as a lamp, the whole sea as the ghee in that lamp, if I take the sun as the wick, and if I take your holy names as the fire, then it will burn all the sins. What to speak of the glories of your lotus feet? Like this, he spoke about the 100 verses. Then the next Alvar spoke the 100 verses. Then the third spoke about the 100 verses. Similarly, it flowed across the Alvars for 4,000 verses. It all started from taking care of the guests. And even today, this temple in Chennai is seen as the temple where this all started for the Sri Vaishnava. So hellish planets, we should not worry about them if we are deeply engaged in Krishna consciousness. Because it is said in the Sahasranama, Artha Vachinna Keta, Artha Vachinna Shatri Kilala Shabita, Goreshu Vayadidu Vatamana, Sankirtan Narayana Shabdamapram, Vimukta Dukkha Sutino Bhavantu. So it said, Artha, one who is worried, Vachinna, one who is afraid, Shatiliyashabhita, one who is suffering from dreadful diseases, one who is worried, one who is desperate, one who is mentally shattered, one who is fearful, one who is very fearful of other things, Goreshu Vagashu Vartamanaha, and somebody has received some bad news, all these kind of people who are in constant fear and anxiety, what happens? Sankirtan Narayana Shabda Matram. If somebody is doing Sankirtan, not even ready to utter the word of Narayan, if somebody is doing Sankirtan and they just hear the word of Narayan, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If they hear this particular syllable mantra of Krishna, what happens? Vimukta Dukkha Sukhino Bhavantu. All their sins of going to the hellish planets completely gets destroyed, completely gets nullified, completely gets burnt like a sponge with a wick of fire. And Sukhino Bhavantu, and they get complete happiness. And this is what Kulashekar Alvar, and this is what many other Acharyas also say. They say that the names of the Lord has so much of potency that it can take one away from these hellish planets. In the Mukunda Mala Stotra, in verse number 50, Kulashekar Alvar very beautifully says, Shira Sagra Karanga Shikara Shara Kara Tikacharu Murtaye Bogi Boga Shayani Shayane Madhavali Madhishena. I pay my obeisances to Lord Madhava, enemy of the Madhu demon. And how is he? He is lying on a beautiful serpent bed of Ananta, and he is speckled by the shower of spray of milk from the ocean waves. If you remember like this, Lord Narayan. What happens? Another great poet says, of Vedanta Deshika, he says, Rama Deita Ranga Boga Ramana Krishna Vishnu Hare Tivikrama Janardana Sriyuganatha Narayana Patet Subhadanite Patati Nama Dayanite Natasya Yama Pakshatam Narakna Patati Sutaha. He says, Rama Deita. Rama means Mahalakshmi. Daita means the husband of Mahalakshmi, who is Narayana. Rama Deita Ranga Bhu Ramana. One who is good in sporting around the Vrindavana forest, or one who is good in sporting around the Ranganatha temple, that is Krishna, Radha Raman, or you can see it in any which way. Krishna Vishnu Hare, Krishna Vishnu Hare, Triyuganatha Narayana, the one who is there in all the three yugas taking avatars. Patati Nama Dayanite, anybody who speaks these names of the Lord. Natatya Yama Pakshatam, forget even talking about Yama. Forget even talking about hell. Forget even talking about the Lord of hell. Natasya Yama Pakshatam Naraka Pata Pidikha. Is there a probability that such person will even see the gates of hell? Is what the Acharya asks. So if we say one time Narayana, one time Krishna, one time Mukunda, one time Janardana, one time Triyuganatha, one time we see these names of the Lord, there is no way that we can see the gates of hell. And this is the learning that we get. Finally, I would like to leave, because we spoke so much about receiving the guests and this particular temple, not known as the Tirukovilur temple. I would like to leave with one of the verses from the Divya Prabandhams, which is the Nalayira Divya Prabandham, or the 4,000 verses, the Vaishnava canon of literature. Of course, it's in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. But they give a very beautiful narration of what happens if everybody in this world chants Hare Krishna. They talk about what will happen to Yama's planet. What will happen to hellish planets if everybody in this world chants Hare Krishna. So for those who know Tamil, they will relish. But those who do not know Tamil, please bear with me. My Tamil is not good. But this is a poem. But those who know Tamil, they will really relish what is being said by this Acharya. He is known as Tondaradipodi Alvar, or he is known as that Acharya who is collecting the dust of the lotus feet of all the devotees. That is his name. What a wonderful name. And he says this word. Eriyum neer verikkol velai maninalath uyirgal illam verikkol pundalava malai vinnavar konayeda அறிவில்லா மனிதர் எல்லாம் அரங்கம் என்று அழைப்பாரகில் பொறியில் வாய் நரகம் எல்லாம் புல்லெழுந்தோயில் What do we smell out of these oceans? Just there's a stale smell of fish. These seas are constantly giving us remembrances of the stale smell of fish. If anybody goes and takes a dip in the sea for 6 hours and comes back to our house, you will be like, take a good bath. And you're not coming inside because they will smell of fish and stale smell will come. So this Acharya is saying, Eriyum neer very cold. All these people who are staying in this living entity, they are staying and they are feeling this stale smell. And how are they living? They are living like jackals hurled up together when there is a flood. Have you seen when there is a flood, how do the living entities, if they have very less land, they will be all packed up together? We are all living like that. In fact, the Acharya is saying, where should we really be staying? We should be staying near the ocean of milk. But where are we staying? We are staying in this ocean of salt water. And that ocean is actually fragrant. With what? With the beautiful tulsi leaves and the gunja mala that Krishna wears, that Narayan wears. And Garuda, Sudarshan, and all these people are smelling these beautiful fragrances. And what is the fragrance we are smelling? Fish and chips. If we are smelling this fish and chips, that means if we are interested in this sense gratification, then we cannot enjoy the real fragrance of the spiritual planet where the fragrance is of the Tulsi Mala, which Lord Narayan is wearing. So, my dear devotees, please, for one, speak one time the name Narayana. Because what happens if you speak the word Narayan? If you one time say Narayan or say one time Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the Alwar says, a complete transformation happens in the hellish planets. What happens? Nobody would be eligible to go into the hellish planets. The hellish planets will run dry. The hellish planets would have to be locked out. And the Acharya says, a very strange thing you will find if you go to the hellish planet, that all the roads of hell will have wild grass growing. He will say, all the roads and the roads to the hell are going to have wild grass, and wild grass only grows when nobody is walking on them. That means he's saying, one time you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. What happens is that the hells turn arid, the hells turn into a desert. The 28 hellish planets that we are seeing, they have to be locked out, because such is the glory of the holy name. And that we will see in the story of Ajamila as we segue into the canto number 6. But these are the 5 hellish planets that we spoke about, out of which today we take this lesson that as a devotee, we can get away from these hellish planets if we take strongly the shelter of the holy name. If we take shelters of the devotees who are visiting. So this is the learning that we learn from Srimad Bhagavatam's verses. Vidaspras Kalitam Kinchit Vidvan Tat Pura Yantutat Vidaspras Saushtubam Kinchit Tat Guru Evam. If there is anything that was a mistake, you are all Vidvans, ardent devotees and experts in Srimad Bhagavatam. Please correct those mistakes. And if you found anything nice, all glories go to none other than Srila Prabhupada and my Gurujanas, and not to Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If you have any questions, comments, feedback, critiques, mistakes, please do come to that. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for very wonderful class, Prabhuji. Very valuable points. Thank you for giving that valuable information, Prabhuji. If anybody have any questions or realization you'd like to share, please unmute yourself and please go ahead.
Yes, I see Shukara Krishna Prabhu. Yeah, go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Dhanapranam, Hare Hare Prabhu. I really love Indradhyana Swami Maharaj. Whenever I was in Sharjah, Shamadesh, he used to come and receive so blissful. He does Sankirtan also, is so wonderful. The stories also, he will tell as if Akho Dekha Hal, he can directly show what's happening. So my all glories to your Guru Maharaj. And you are also as good as that. The way you are talking, so many stories you told immediately. Thank you very much, Prabhu. You are wonderful. And may Krishna make you a speaker all over the world. Definitely, Prabhu. All the best to you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for glorifying my spiritual master. Thank you for taking this opportunity. Just like to make a correction, and no comparison to him. I'm just trying to be a disciple. Thank you. But thank you for your blessings that will help me become a disciple.
And wonderful, Prabhu. You to keep coming, Prabhu. We want you always.
Kandi, Prabhu. Yes, Nitin Asama Prabhu is also.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. It was a nectarian class, Prabhuji. Lot of take-home messages. Prabhuji, my question is pertaining to this 10.22.5 which you mentioned, like gopis worshipping Katayani and absorbing, fully absorbing minds in Krishna. My question is why they are not directly asking Krishna and why they are asking Katayani? That is the question, Prabhuji.
So let's read Srila Prabhupada's answer to that. It's better to give what Prabhupada and what other acharyas say. In fact, if we look at the previous verse, Here, this is the answer that Srila Prabhupada gets. If, even if we accept hypothetically that gopis were worshipping the external incarnate, there is no fault on their part, since in their pastimes of loving Krishna, they were acting as ordinary members. That's the answer. They were just playing the part and increasing the pastime. Srila Prabhupada comments, this is Prabhupada's disciples commenting. Srila Prabhupada comments in this regard, the Vaishnavas generally do not worship any demigods. Srila Prabhupada's Thakur has strictly forbidden worship of demigods for anyone who wants to advance in pure devotional service. Yet, the gopis who are beyond compare in their affection for Krishna, they are seen to worship Durga. The worshippers of demigods also mentioned that the gopis worship goddess Durga, but we must understand that the purpose of the gopis, right? So generally people worship the goddess Durga for material benediction. Here the gopis prayed to become wives of Lord Krishna. The purport is that if Krishna is the center of activity, a devotee can adopt any means to achieve that goal. The gopis could adopt any means to satisfy or serve Krishna. That was the super excellent characteristics of the gopis. And because we don't have such a characteristic, we cannot follow this path. They worshipped goddess Durga completely for 1 month in order to have Krishna as their husband. Every day they prayed for Krishna. So the answer is these two words. That was the super excellent characteristic of gopis, which we do not have. And since in their pastimes of loving Krishna, they were acting as ordinary members of the society. Does that answer the question, Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhuji, perfect. But still, Prabhu, like, not fully convinced.
Yeah.
The reason is, like, why they could not directly worship. I mean, it is a pastime, it is a leela, or to set an example for others, it is like that, or how it is, Prabhuji? It means they could have worshipped directly to Krishna. Is it...
So please understand the social context also, right? They are young gopis suddenly worshipping a young boy in the village. It is like, where is the chastity quotient gone, right? So it is and. In this love, love is always hidden in the heart. You don't go out and suddenly showcase it to everyone. So there is a social context to it. At the same point of time, there is also, they are increasing the pastime of wanting to become as wives of the husband. And if they are also in the rasa of madhurya, so that is a special characteristic. We are in a different way. We are developing different kinds of servantal worship. This is very far, far high. Similarly, Rukmini going and worshipping Girija, that is their full devta. Bhishmaka has been worshipping. So she goes, but she makes a plea that you are the sister of Dwarkadish, right? So why don't you tell your brother to come and take me away? So these are rasas, potions, which actually, these are different mellows that we tell.
Thank you,
Prabhu. This is the answer. Thank you. Thank you.
One more point. Can I add one point on this, Prabhuji? If you don't mind.
Yeah,
see, actually, the gopis are not treating Krishna as God. No, gopis, they are just wanting to become husband. So they are not worshipping him as God. They are just treating like they are among themselves. That's why they are thinking that the Girija will marry this girl. The Devi will give their blessing to get him married. No? They are not treating him as a god. Do they know that he is God? But the Gopi Bhav and all, they are all like friends, Gopas, yeah. Gopis.
Yeah, yeah. So they are playing perfectly the part of the pastime where the Yogamaya does not allow them to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. They don't consider it. So that's why one of the poets sings that the Yogamaya plays so perfectly that Krishna is the biggest cheater. He smiles very beautifully and he has cheated Yashoda to think that he is her son and not the Supreme Person. So Krishna cheats in many ways. Yes. Any other question? Varsha Mataji, I see.
Yes. Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Yes.
Prabhuji, I have two small questions. The first one is like, kid here in US, kids always ask for like to adopt a, like a foster pet, and they like to have like a dog or like cat to have in the house. But can you please suggest in Vaishnava's family, is there any rule? My second question is, like, there are a lot of families having pet here, and if pet get like a severe sick, they just put them on the slip. So is that a sin?
Sorry, what is the second question? Is there a, they have many pets here, and what happens?
So if the pet gets severely sick, they just put them in to sleep. So to put the pet to sleep, it's not a natural death. So is that the same?
Okay. So the answer to the first one is they ask for a foster pet. So in Vaishnava culture, generally, we see we are attracted always, and we keep our minds always occupied in devotional service. So while we are friendly to all living entities, including them as a part of the family, is generally not welcome. If at all we have to welcome and there is social pressure or there is a particular need, because sometimes having pets like cows are allowed. Cows, bulls, bullocks are allowed in a family because they are sattvic in nature and they help us to give better spiritual understanding. That also, there is a rule that pets are supposed to be kept outside the house. They don't have access inside the house. And even if we touch the pets, then there has to be proper suchi, that is washing of the hands, taking bath. All those things have to be taken care of because inside the house, it is the Lord's house. And outside the house, they have. But nowadays, sometimes we see there are dogs, there are living, etc. Srila Prabhupada, he had such a wonderful way of saying that. He said, once the grihastha first makes prasad, the first roti, even today if you go to Vrindavan, it will go to the cow. The first chapati will go with good, with jaggery, will go to the cow. And after the cow is done, then they will step outside cultured families. They will step outside the house and ask, is there any sadhus who want prasad? And after that, they will feed any guests who are there in the house. And after that, they will take prasadam. And then if the prasadam is left over, they will feed other living entities like dogs and others. So this is the culture. But today it is the other way around. First, it is made for a dog. There is a separate maid for a dog. And then there is a dog which is being given the first food, last food, second food, all the food. This is not Vaishnava culture. So this is the pet. We should understand that some people keep birds in a cage. It's not supposed to be kept like that because they have such a beautiful, the whole sky cannot be imitated in a cage. So this is for our self-pleasure we are keeping. Sometimes there are some children who are mentally not well, or there are some elders who are not mentally well. And then they will say that when you see compassion and association with animals, they give a lot of solace. So for that, we should go to barns, we should go to cow sheds, we should spend time with cows, and we should relax our minds like that. But we see everywhere, the place is outside, and it's not inside the house. And we see that example even in this Nanda Maharaj and Garga Muni's conversation. If you read 10th Canto Bhagavatam, in the 8th chapter, when Garga Muni says, I want a place where I want to give the names of Krishna, he says, let's go to the cow shed, which is outside the house. So pets are allowed as long as they are sattvic in nature, which is there, and they are supposed to be outside the house, not inside the house. Second, we should not keep the pets inside a cage or which is limiting their particular living. Third, when they are extremely sick, putting a needle and putting them out of their distress, this is not our job. First of all, we cannot play God of giving life, or neither we can take life. We are relatively trying to understand the pain of the dog by thinking about it, or by thinking about the pet that it is undergoing a lot of pain, so let me give death. So while it is undergoing pain, we never know that dog can come out of it also, that animal can come out of it. Just like abortion, many people abort their children thinking that this person will not be a devotee. No, there is an umpteen amount of examples that Ajamila also became. So this abortion, this putting the pets to die by giving a lethal injection, taking them out of pain, we should not play such role. We are nobody to play such role. We should give it to the care. If we cannot take care of our pets, we should give it to care who can take care of it, nurture it back. But we should not abandon. This is the hell that we will face. We read in the 33rd verse. They came to us with shelter, right? Imagine somebody just dumping us off when we are not good. This is not right. So that is not allowed. Does that answer the question, Madhuri?
Yes, Prabhuji. I will try to explain my kids. And Prabhuji, one follow-up question, like you can help me to answer my kids. Like they say, Mommy, like if the pet, we can do kirtan and with this Harinam, they'll get liberated too. They will feed them prasadam. So what's wrong in that? We are liberating some of the life. So why you don't allow? So what should I answer for Prabhuji that?
Yeah, first let's liberate ourselves. Then let's become capable of liberating others.
Okay,
so, yeah. So this is a kid's way of rationalizing, mother. You as a mother, you.
Yeah, Prabhuji, I try.
They will find it this way to try to get. But it is good. Please encourage them because they are speaking Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
So tell them when we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and when he goes through Jharikhanda forest, he will deliver them also. So till we see that pastime, let's fall down on the pit.
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. That satisfies.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Suresh Akram, Prabhu.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam. Prabhuji, you were narrating the pastime about Shibi Maharaj. How is he, like, general question, Prabhu, sometimes, you know, this suddenly pops up. Like, how is he able to communicate with the bird, right? Like, how is he able to connect and understand the
discussion? Very, very good question. Same questions are asked. How did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speak to the all the animals who were there? So communication is not only through the words that they sit and say, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and they start speaking. They communicate in their manner, which we can understand. We can understand when a monkey communicates, it needs water. We can understand when a mother cow is constantly braying that it is having a problem. And we can understand that when a hawk is chasing the pigeon and it comes and hides behind you, that's it. It understands. But these conversations which is mentioned about the tears and saying one tear, these were divine personalities. These were Indra and Agni who were taking a form. So they spoke. So even for Shibi, this might be unnatural. And he knew that these are some other personalities who are coming to test. But nevertheless, he didn't break his resolve. So definitely these are heavenly entities, heavenly beings who are actually coming down and speaking. So they have special capabilities. They can speak. So this is the way we understand. And then there are so many people, even on this planet, who are whisperers, lion whisperers, tiger whisperers. Those who speak the language, it's not that easy, it's not that difficult. You can even see parrots speaking Hare Krishna. So they can imitate. So such things are possible. And we have faith on the chakras that this happens. And they were divine personalities, Indra and Agni. So they could speak.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, thank you very much, Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam.
Thank you, Lalitangar. Lalitangi Radha Mataji, thank you very much for your lovely words of appreciation. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Anybody else has questions? Comments? Back to you, Mataji. Thank you, Lalitangi Ramandu Prabhu. Thank you for your kind words.
Anybody have any questions? I mean, Shyamagauri Mataji.
Hare Krishna Babuji, Dandavat Pranam, Shila Prabhupada. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. We were like, you know, waiting for your class to give nice presentation and beautiful stories, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for your words of appreciation and thank you for the opportunity. All glories to Shri Prabhupada.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. If nobody have any questions, we'll end the call here, Prabhuji. We would like to really thank you, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and we look forward for your association again and again, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Let us pray to Abhisanthukti, Prabhuji, and all the Vaishnavas, Vancha, Kalpata, Rubhyasha, Kupa, Sintra, Sintra, Anta, Koti, Vaishnava, Nuki, please pray, Haridas, Swami, Prabhuji, Ki
Jai.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Thank you.